From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Masters begins tomorrow at the legendary Augusta National Golf Club in Georgia. It is among professional golf's most prestigious tournaments, bringing some of its biggest names, like Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods. Last week, the famous green made history, hosting its first women's tournament, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Bob Herrig is senior golf writer for ESPN. He's in Augusta now, and Bob, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Anya Alvarez, she's former Ladies Professional Golf Association player and now a woman sports journalist on the line from New York. Anya, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Bob, I'm going to start with you. And a look at the golf course itself, what makes it such an important and famous one?
Oh, well, there's a lot of factors there, I think. It was founded by the great amateur player Bobby Jones in the early 1930s. He was a revered figure in the game back then. His friends in the game, the media at the time, they sort of revered him, looked up to him. And when he started his own tournament, which he did not want to call the Masters, it was called the Augusta National Invitational Tournament in 1934, it almost immediately had significance just because his name was attached to it. And through the years, of course, it grew, and it being played at the same place, a very it's got a beauty about it. It's got the green. People see it on TV and want to be here. And so it's sort of grown in stature, obviously, over the years into now what's, probably the most watched golf tournament of any.
And it's got strong traditions at the club, prestige, exclusivity, only about 300 members of Augusta National Golf Club. You have to be invited to become a member. Also, decorum, stringent rules, no running, no cell phones or cameras, no autographs, no backward hats, no fishing. Are these, Bob, part of the appeal?
I think for some. I mean, I think some of those things might be an annoyance for others, but, it's their club, their rules. I know from a media standpoint, the no cell phone policy, which even we cannot take out of the media center, that's hard to get used to in this day and age. It's fans at other golf tournaments, it's routine to see them with phones, taking photos, keeping up with. Golf is a hard sport to follow. You don't see all the action in front of you, so you can keep up with things on your phone. You can't do that here. And in some ways, it's nice. It's a throwback. I don't know that everybody likes that. I'm not sure every Augusta National member likes some of the rules, but I think they're willing to put up with them to be a member at a place that, that's not easy to get into, as you noted.
Well, throwback is part of the key here. Did not admit its first black member until 1990. And for many years, no women were admitted as members. How did this endure, even among generations of women fighting for equal rights and Title IX?
Well, unfortunately, I think you have to look at golf in general. And it's a sport that has always been slow to embrace social change. I mean, not just at Augusta National, but the sport in general. It's been a somewhat of an elitist game. It's played by older, more affluent people, typically white. The PGA itself didn't allow its first African American members until 1961. Baseball, other sports had been integrated long before that. The Masters didn't invite its first black player to the tournament until 1975, Lee Elder. So then when it comes to the women's issue, it was just 14, 15 years ago that, there were protests about the women's policy. Now, I always make sure I say that it wasn't that women weren't allowed, it's just that they had no women members. So I think there is a distinction. But the reason it became such a talking point is this is such a public place 1 week a year. And Augusta National has a seat at the table in terms of governing the game. They're a very important entity. They run one of the four biggest tournaments. And for them to not have women members just increasingly became more and more of a problem.
Well, Anya, for you as a professional woman's golfer, were you among those protesters who thought this is not right?
To be honest with you, I have a stance that a private club should be able to do what it wants, but at the same time, it's going to be held to a higher level of scrutiny if they are hosting a tournament like the Masters. and profiting as much as they do off the tournament. So those types of clubs that are, you know, willing to let women come and be part of the audience or the spectators and profit off of them should maybe consider having them also be members of their club. That, but yeah, I mean, I think private clubs should be able to do what they want.
But the no woman rule really came into the forefront in 2012 when Virginia, Ginny Romedy, became the first woman CEO of IBM. So Bob, that was a dilemma for Augusta. What's the story there?
Right. Well, actually, I think it was before that even. It, you know, the IBM had a succession of CEOs who were offered membership at Augusta National. That's one of the tournaments and the club's biggest sponsors, and it went hand in hand. And when she became CEO, that didn't happen right away. She was not invited. In fact, she wasn't even one of the first two that Augusta National invited in 2012. And you know, I think part of it is due to the pressure. They have maintained a stance that they will not be pressured. So they invited their first two women members in 2012 after a long time of pressure, but it sort of came at a point when maybe nobody was really expecting it. It was in the springtime. The Masters had been over with for at least a month. It was off people's radar a little bit, and they invited their first two, including Condoleezza Rice. And then Virginia came in a little bit later. It was maybe a year later. And now they have six women members. So it's taken a while. You know, they've moved slowly on that, but they have moved.
Well, in a way, it took IBM hiring its first woman CEO to make Augusta National invite its first member, right?
I don't think it was the only reason, but I think it probably opened up their eyes to the fact that, you know, look, this is, you know, we're being, you know, we're not being proper here. You know, we're not being right. And also, let's be honest, they must have had internal pressure from whether it was members who have wives and daughters who thought it was wrong, or from their sponsors who said, look, it's not good for us to be associated with you if you have this stance. Mm. You know, and so I think there might have been some pressure from a business standpoint that, you know, these companies are paying millions of dollars to sponsor the Masters, to buy tickets, whatever their deals are. And, you know, we're supporting a club that doesn't invite women members. And as Anya said, it's not so much about a club that doesn't have women. It's about a club that is so public and makes millions and millions of dollars off the public one week a year, not doing that and sending a bad message to the rest of the world.
The voice you just heard, that's Bob Herrick. He's with us from Augusta. He is senior golf writer for ESPN. Also with us, Anya Alvarez. She's a woman sports journalist and a former LPGA golfer. Well, let's move to 2018, when it was announced that Augusta National would hold its first women's tournament the following year, which was this year. Anya, had there been any specific criticism leading up to this move? Or like Bob said, do you think it was proactive on the club's part?
It's hard for me to say that it's proactive or even progressive to have a women's tournament at Augusta, because I think it's something that should have happened a long time ago. And then on top of that, I think the timing was really bad for the tournament, because they did it during the first week of the LPGA's first major of the year. So in my opinion, it ended up taking away a lot of attention from the women's major, which they considered their women's Masters, the ANA Inspiration. And it just felt like there was just so much hoopla built around this amateur event, like they were patting themselves on the back for being progressive and inviting these girls to play Augusta National. And the way that it was framed, too, was that the entire tournament was going to be played at Augusta, when it was really only the final round and the 30 players who qualified for the final round would get to actually play at Augusta. So I just, to me, I didn't have the same excitement that I guess a lot of people had, because it was just like, okay, it's 2018. This should not be a big deal.
All right. And it was the tournament was going to be a big deal. Is there any reason why they didn't choose to host a professional tournament rather than an amateur tournament?
I'm not sure what decision in terms of why they decided not to host a professional women's event. I think that they obviously wanted to piggyback off the Masters going into the week and build up momentum for the tournament, and they could not host a professional women's event during that week with the ANA Inspiration, LPGA ANA Inspiration. I don't know. I think they just thought that maybe this is a prime opportunity to do something, and an amateur event would be a good way for them to showcase support for women's golf.
Well, Bob, you were there. I heard Christine Brennan say this morning on Morning Edition that she saw many members of the club. They really did turn out for it. What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think the event itself, it actually came off a lot better than many expected. The golf was very good. There was a lot of spectators on site. They had a lottery for tickets. The women who were involved, and they actually all did at least get to play a practice round at Augusta on Friday. There, you know, there obviously are some concerns about only having the one round and it going up against the ANA. These are legitimate issues, but when you just dig down into the event itself, I thought it came off really nicely. The play was excellent. The fans, the people embraced it. The players, Tiger has talked about it. Some of the other players have talked about how well they thought it came off. It can certainly improve. But I would say that, you know, it's better than them not doing something. It's a step in the right direction.
Well, it's interesting to consider. I mean, a big move by Augusta National, paying off both financially, and they're getting a lot of positive press. But if golf as a sport had embraced women, I mean, look, we've seen the growth of women's sports exponentially in the past 20 or 30 years. Did golf miss a chance to capture a woman's market, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the big things going forward is it's a growth area for the game. The two biggest areas where the game can grow are juniors, young people, and women. I mean, it's almost untapped. I mean, it's just such a small percentage of those entities that are playing, and if you want to get them interested, you need to give them reasons to be. Now, you know, I think the good thing that came out of the women's amateur is you'll have young girls now aspire to play in it. That's a goal for them to try to get here. And I can assure you the ones that were here were thrilled and, you know, ecstatic about the opportunity. Well, now, you know, you might have a 10 or 12-year-old girl who thinks, if I can get my game in shape and be a really good junior player, amateur player, I'll have a chance to go there. You know, that's a good thing. It's the same thing with the junior thing they're doing, the drive, chip, and putt they do on Sunday. Is it enough? Probably not. I mean, there could be way more. Certainly, the idea of hosting a professional women's event here, it would have to be away from the Masters. If they could somehow pull that off, the interest in that would be off the charts. It would be tremendous. But, you know, it's easy for me to say they should do that. There's so many other things that go into that. But I think this is a good first step.
Well, Anya, 30 seconds left. What do you think? If this had happened 20 years ago, what would golf look like today for women?
I think that we would be having a much different conversation around the women's game. And then, to Bob's point, there was great golf that was played at the Augusta Women's Amateur. We saw that women can play at Augusta. And I think now that that stage has been set, hopefully then in the future we can give LPGA players the opportunity to show what they can do at Augusta as well.
Anya Alvarez, thank you so much. And Bob Herrig, thank you. Anya's a woman sports journalist, former LPGA golfer, and Bob is going to be there carrying it at Augusta, senior golf writer for ESPN. Stay with us for a couple who's doing the whole Appalachian Trail. We're going to find out why and keep in touch with them while they hike it. This is On Second Thought.